Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're listening to Pastor Randy from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready, grab your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Put our hope in. You're always faithful. You're always there for us, and we trust in you deeply. And so, Lord, this morning, without exception, we come together just asking Holy Spirit to be here in our midst. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, great to have all y'all here. I have a couple announcements for you. All y'all. It's almost like all y'all, yeah. Because listen, if I said you guys, well, there's girls here too. But if I say all y'all, that covers everyone. All right. So, y'all. Got a couple of announcements. First of all, Lost and Found. We have a table set up in the fellowship hall with Lost and Found items there, even some Bibles. And I just wonder, you know, how are you getting by all week without your Bible? Hopefully you have more than one, but if you don't go pick it up, they all become a part of my collection. So, so go check it out. There's some cool shades. There's Bibles, there's all kinds of stuff. Hopefully it's yours. If it is, go grab it. That'd be great. Also, we have a new women's Bible study that is beginning Tuesday evening. Now, I want you to understand, this women's Bible study Tuesday evening, it is a home fellowship. It's not held here at the church. And it's not eliminating our Monday night women's Bible study that's here at the church and our Tuesday morning Bible study that's here at the church. Now we're adding a Tuesday evening women's Bible study at a home. Now, they only have 8 more slots available, and then they are packed. So if you want to go, you need to get your book from the bookstore and then attend Tuesday evening, and there you go. Also, next Sunday, servants, we're having an all-servants meeting, and that includes overseers, leaders, deacons, everyone. Very important meeting for this year. We got some things coming up, but we're also going to tag in our VBS, and I'm super excited about VBS. We didn't have one last year. We're going to have one this year, and it's going to be the best ever. So if you want to be, yeah, woohoo, VBS. All right. Oh, gosh. If you want to be involved, then please, by all means, come to our servant meeting. That would be great. Also, if you've noticed, there's some dudes wearing these T-shirts because we just got back from a men's retreat. Now, men, hold on. Mm-hmm. Men, was it powerful? I'm not convinced. Men, was it powerful? Yeah, it was. Now, every time we go to a men's retreat, we always like to challenge the ladies. Now, last year, the ladies couldn't answer the challenge. We had that dance off, but we couldn't leave it. We couldn't leave it alone. So we did a whole new challenge. Watch the screens. Yeah, that was awesome. Wasn't that awesome? So all the men, can you come up and do the dance up here for them? No, I'm just well, listen, no. You have no idea how much editing that was. They really don't dance that well. But anyways, we are going to, though we had an awesome worship team, we talked about it, we prayed about it, we will one day in the next couple of weeks have our men's retreat worship team do worship for us. Yeah. They really did a great job. On top of that, I have a good friend of mine here. He and I go way back. In fact, at one time, neither one of us were even deacons. We were just attending a church. Then we became servants. Then we became deacons. Then we became assistant pastors. And then, of course, now we both pastor churches. And he knew me when I was just starting to follow Jesus. So he knew the ugly side of Randy, which was yesterday. But anyways, he is the pastor of Calvary Chapel San Angelo, and I'm super excited to have my friend, Pastor Robert Bijouet. So give a HBC welcome to him.
I was afraid coming up those steps. I'm a fully committed person, so if I started falling, I would just nosedive right into that. So, yeah, we've known each other, gosh, way too long, you know. It's one of those things where it's like 20 years, but it feels like 50. You know, kind of like most of your marriages, right? But, no, I'm kidding, you know. That's what my wife says. We've been married over 30 years, and she's like, it feels like forever, but it's not. No, I'm kidding. Not, but no, yeah, really. I it's like I was sitting there. I got so many stories, but so many of them, I'm like, I probably shouldn't tell that one. No, shouldn't tell that one. I remember the first time I sat down to eat with him, right? And literally, what does he do? Okay, I mean, he's got a 2-liter there, so I'm like holding out my cup to get a sip. But no, that's his 2-liter, right? That was his dinner drink. You know, that's just that kind of thing. It's awesome. So. If you would, please join me if you need a Bible, they're bringing out Bibles, right? So you guys, if you need a Bible, just raise your hand, they'll give you a Bible. And as you're doing so, if you would, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to lead you in a little bit of prayer. Father God, I come before you right now, Lord Jesus. I thank you so much just for the hearts of those that you have here, the love that you show so much through these, your people. Father, man, I'm so blessed to, even for a moment, just to be here with them, to experience this love. And Lord, for those that may be here today who are questioning, who are seeking, who are wondering, Lord, I pray right now that you would move upon their hearts, that you would move upon their lives, that you, Lord, would move them to where they see the truths of your word today, and they would just seek you out, and they would know you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I've entitled today's message Exam Day because I kind of wanted to look a little bit about, you know, we had so many questions, we had so many thoughts from the men's retreat, right? Just kind of getting to know each other, and that's the awesome thing about being in a men's retreat, right? Because you're always like hitting each other with questions and thinking things through and doing those things, and so many were, you know, so many questions were put out that I began to, you know, I was thinking like, okay, it'd be kind of good to have like a practical list thing, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so. Rather than, and first service we were talking about it, and I kind of compared it to, we want to do a self-examination and see if you've got, like I said, Facebook level, right, of faith, right? Is yours just a Facebook faith, or is it legit? Is it real? But there's a lot of younger people here, so I guess I got to say, like, do you have, like, Snapchat faith or Instagram faith? Right? I got to kind of, and even that, I'm probably behind the game, as you can see from the hair, you know? Even though I've had gray hair since I was like 30 something, so it runs in the family. That's what I always tell everybody, you know. Or you meet my kids and you go, so much of it explained. But seriously, right? Seriously, as you're coming into 2 Corinthians, and let me actually get to it here. In 2 Corinthians, one of the things that's going on here in chapter 13 is Paul has been. He's been exhorting and correcting and even rebuking the Corinthians, right? I'm sorry? Somebody say something? Okay, all right, cool beans. You never know, right? It's like somebody go, where are you at again? Okay, but it's good. In 2 Corinthians, one of the things that's going on here with Paul is he's been talking to them, he's been rebuking them, correcting them, exhorting them about the sin that's going on in the church. And that's not my focus for today. But my focus, what I want to do is I want to look at how he responds to them because they were, you know, and most of it, when Paul's not there, that's when they're doing it, right? It's kind of how you go, you know, you go up to, not you guys, but first service, right? You know, they go up to the pastor and they go, man, that was so great. You're so awesome. And then when they get home, they're like, yeah, you know what, man, there was this and there was that. And, you know, but that was first service, not you guys, right? So that's kind of the thing that's going on here. When Paul's away, when he's not there, they're like, Paul doesn't have any power. He may not even be an apostle. I don't even know if he's really saved, you know? And so Paul, this is how he responds to it. So read with me, if you would, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. He says, this will be the third time I'm coming to you. He brings this point up because he says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Okay? Now, he's saying this and he's doing this. Why is he doing this? Because he's letting them know. He's using the principle from Deuteronomy where he says, you know, that, you know, if you've got a witness against somebody of their guilt, you need at least two or three witnesses to establish that thing. So he is literally saying, I've had to correct you on this three times, so you're guilty. All right? He's not letting them out of it. He's like, I'm not going to let you out of this. This is just not going to happen. And then look what he says in verse 2. He says, I've told you before and foretell it. Right? He's not prophesying. Okay? He's just foretelling to them. He's like, I'm telling you now what I'm going to tell you then. Right? It's kind of like you do with your kids. When I get home, we're having that conversation. You know, the one that involves leather. Right? Yeah. That's what he's doing here. Except when I grew up, I had a grandma that would, you know, go cut me a switch. Right? And if I don't like it, then I'm going to go get one. So you always have to bring it. You can't just bring one of those little, right? Yeah, that's not happening. So, and he says, you know, I told you before, and I foretell you as if I were present the second time, and now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before, and to all the rest, that if I come again, and this is where, I mean, he sounds like the dad of their faith, right? Because he's like, if I come again, I will not spare. You know, nobody gets out alive. You know, that's kind of what he's doing here. He's like, you think that I'm just going to graze things over? You think I'm going to get... And he's like, no. No, everybody's going down, right? It's that thing you do with your kids. We had our kids. Our youngest daughter was the one we would leave in charge of everything. She was 11, and all the other ones were like, you know, 3 to 4 years older than her. But she was the most responsible one, our Sarah. You know, and she's now actually a 911 operator and dispatch operator for the town that we live in. You know, but she was the most responsible, the one that we could always depend on. And she would hold the kids. She'd be like, I'm going to tell mom and dad, right? She'd be that one, right? And it was like, you know, and here he's like, and when she would tell us, we tell everybody's going down for this except Sarah. You guys know that, right? You know? And that's what he's doing. He's like, I'm not going to spare anybody since you seek. But then he responds to what they've been telling him because they've been bashing him because they're like, you know, he's not even an apostle. He may not even be saved. And he says, really? You know, you do this when I'm not there. He says, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak towards you, but mighty in you. So he's like, you know what it looks like to be a Christian. You know how I behaved and how I acted. You've seen my life and you know who I am, right? And he says, but now you're seeking proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak towards you, but mighty in you. He's like, you have experienced the Holy Spirit in your life. Why are you acting this way? You know, and he says, he gives the comparison. He says, look, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. You know, the enemy thought he had won with Christ. When Christ was crucified, hell rejoiced as though heaven had lost. That's an amazing thing when you begin to think of it, because we always think when the good guy dies, the game is over. But in Jesus Christ, when the good guy dies, life begins. You have that in him. And he says, the weakness that the world looked at was the power of God working to your salvation. And he's like, you think I'm weak? When you think I'm weak, then I'm strong, right? And he goes on and he says, you know, look what he says, right? He says, for we are also weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. When I get home, you're going to find out, right? You want to know what the Holy Spirit looks like when he unleashes? It's coming, right? And that's what he says. And then look what he says. You think I'm not saved. Verse 5, and this is our text for today. Look at verse 5. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Now, notice he's writing this to the believers, to the church in Corinth. And then he says literally to these people who think they're believers, who, you know, have said, you know, Paul, whatever. And now he's like, are you even saved? You need to examine yourselves. Not just that, he says, test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? He's like, you're behaving this way, and you're putting Christ through this. You know, Christ is in you. Why are you doing this? Unless, he says, indeed you are disqualified. Right? He's saying, you're saying, I'm not qualified to do this. He's like, maybe it's you. Oftentimes, you know, we'll sit there and think somebody's beating up on us, somebody's doing something to us, something's happening here, you know, and 9 times out of 10, you know, it's because we are wrong. You know, and here he's like, maybe it's you. Unless you are disqualified, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. He's shown all these things, man, and it's like, guys, I get there too sometimes, right? And here's what I want to do now. Is I want to give you, Paul gives us, he says, test yourselves, examine yourselves. So since today is your exam day, I'm going to have a few of you stand up and we're going to, no, I'm not going to do that, right? You know, isn't that like the nightmare, right? Hey, the pastor's talking about this sin and you're like, oh, he's going to point me out. I know he is, right? Yeah, that's the nightmare. But we're not going to do that, you know, because some of you already know who you are. Right, I'm looking for the guys from the retreat, and I'm like, okay, yeah, there's one of them. Yeah, that. Yep, there you go. That's you. But, you know, so this is about the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Is the question you have to come to this is, am I born again? Right? You know, not that you're following Christ, not that you made it to church on a Sunday. In spite of the fact that you really wanted to sleep late. You know, you don't know how tired I am. The Lord knows, though. He wants me to have my rest. No. Listen, you're here for a purpose and reason today. And this is what I want to do is are you born again? So I'm going to give you 5 points, right? 5 main points. And here, let's look at them real quick. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for me. In case you're trouble with numbers, you would go to the left in your Bibles, right? You know? And I know some of the funny thing is I've seen some of you, and I've seen people do this. Like, you know, you ever lick your finger and you turn the pages. I've seen people lick their finger and then flick their phones. And I'm like, what are you doing? Right? I do it. I'm just getting the crunchy stuff off of the phone, right? Because I ate over it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. One of the tests that you give yourself, right? And I know some of you young people are just like, oh, man, another test, right? This is a pop quiz. And here, the test that you give yourself, and again, for you who are believers in Jesus Christ, if you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are saved, then look at this as a self-examination of how you should be walking, how you should be moving, how you should be living in Christ. If you're not sure, then look at this as a roadmap to how you can get there. Okay? The first thing is you can't spell out the gospel. If somebody asks you what the gospel was and you go, man, I don't know. I just accepted Jesus one day because it seemed like the right thing to do. Something's wrong. You know, because that's not how this works. That's not how these things go. That's not the way that God operates and does. The gospel is that good news of Jesus Christ. You know, that's like you saying 4 and you didn't know the question was 2 plus 2. The gospel is very specific. You know, let's look at it real quick. Look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. So Paul makes the point that this is what you receive. This is what you stand in. When we stand in faith, when we live by faith, this is what he's describing, okay? He says, I preach to you that which you also received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved. What? So, do you know the gospel? What is the gospel? He goes into it here. You know, and he says, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen. And for those of you that are here that are sitting there wondering and you're looking, you know, some of you may have been, you've wrestled with and you've gone, you know, I'm just not sure, man. They didn't come up with all this stuff about Jesus until like 300 years after. It's a lie. Every scholar, even people that don't believe in Jesus, have said what Paul is writing here became a form of doctrine and was shared among the church 5 years after Jesus rose from the dead. 5 years. The world telling you that all this stuff about Jesus didn't come around until somebody made it up. So they, no. The church believed this from the very get-go because that was the essence of faith. And it tells us that these people saw him alive. This is Paul reporting. This is one of the reasons that Paul did it, because Paul was in there. He knew of these things. He saw these things. He killed some of the people that refused to give up their faith in Christ because they knew he was alive. And he says, look what he says. He says he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he had been seen by over 500 brethren at once. You know, when you guys come in here and there's 500 of you, these things are going on, and you are filled with the presence of Christ, you know, you're giving witness to the world, testimony to the world that he's alive, and he's alive in you. You know, God is just so amazing by the things that he's done. Look what he says. He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. He's like, some have even fallen, they've died. They're not just sleeping, right? Some of you are like, I'm sleeping right now too. Hey, I'm one of them. No, that's not what it is, okay? You know, he's talking about people that have literally died in this faith. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. Paul didn't just see a vision of him. He didn't just see those things. We know from all Paul's writings and everything that he actually met the risen Christ. You have to understand, that's why this guy went from this, you know, this total Hebrew of Hebrews, he called himself, you know, of this tribe, of these things. And he went from that guy to one who would literally die for the one he persecuted. This is the amazing power of the gospel. This is the thing that you have to get here, where you guys understand what God's wanting to do in you. And if you don't know the gospel, right, this simple gospel, how can you say you're a witness of his resurrection if you don't even believe in it? Being a Christian is not coming to church, though coming to church can help you to become a Christian. The second thing I want to point out to you is, if you can't explain how the gospel applies to your living and your life, you may have problems going on. Right? You need to examine yourself. And it's like, how is it we believe the gospel can save us, but it can't change us? Right? It's like, I just don't think God can take that from me. I just don't think he can do it. Turn to Romans chapter 8 with me, if you would. You're going to be taking a left from Corinth there. Romans chapter 8. Yeah. Sorry. Romans 8. So, Romans chapter 8. And as you turn there, one of the things that we always say is demons believe and tremble, right? You know, that's that James 2:19. That's that thing that slams down on you when you're like, you know, I believe. Right, but like we talked about in first service, some people believe in aliens, right? And those people are feeling so vindicated right now. I told you they were coming, you know, laugh at my aluminum helmet now, right? You know, that's where everybody is. Come on, dude, really? You know, we talked about it at the retreat. Talked to some of the guys that went on the retreat. We talked about aliens and things like that, and we described some things. But here's the deal, okay? Here in Romans chapter 8, we're going to ask, what does it look like to be saved? What does it look like to walk in Him? What does it mean to do these things? You know? And if God's not changing your life, if something's not happening, if something's not going on, this is one of those, you know, if you were going to, you know, check a, you know, a check mark or an X to say it's not you, this is one of those questions you need to answer. Is God moving in your life? Romans chapter 8, look at verse 5 with me. And this tells us where our minds are, what's going on with this flesh, what's happening with these things. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You know, that set your minds literally means I wake up and I immediately begin to plan and plot my day on how I can put myself into a place where I can sin. You know? I mean, we do. Sometimes we actually put ourselves in position where it's like, you know, well, I don't want to drink, but I'm going to go to the club with the guys. You know, I'm just going to be a friend. That's all. It's like, no, brother, you're setting yourself for fall. We set ourselves up for failure because our minds are set on the things of the flesh. But look what he says. It looks like for those who live according to the Spirit, right, the things of the Spirit. What do you mean, Robert? I'm like, yeah, we're gonna get there. We're gonna look at it, okay? But when you wake up in the morning, it's like we got this young guy at church, and his parents raised him and his sister. Literally, before their feet hit the floor, they read their Bible. You know, when they wake up, they don't wake up, you know, go brush their teeth, shower, do all those things. They literally have a Bible by their bedside, and before their feet hit the floor, they read their Bible. They see what God has to tell them that day. They begin walking in the Spirit the moment they wake up. I think that's a great way to be. And here, because he explains why am I saying this? Why am I making this point? Why am I saying this? He says in verse 6, look at it there. It says, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He's saying this to you and I to understand that if all your thought process, all your everything is all about the flesh and these, and it's like that's where you're going to go. Right? If I'm not renewing my mind, Romans 12:2, if I'm not, always renewing my mind in Him, then I'm going to fall to this. And, you know, and even for the believer, for you to bring sin into your life is to bring death into it. Romans chapter 6 tells us that, you know, you are a slave to the one that you obey. Is it sin or is it life? Because the carnal mind, he says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. You know, you cannot trust your own philosophy, your own thought process, right? It's one of those things where you don't know how long I've been doing this. And it's like, yeah, but you've been doing it wrong the whole time, right? You suddenly think your philosophy is going to get it right now? That's why you have this, you know? It's like, I know what I'm doing. No, keep it, pick it up. Read it, walk with it, you know? This is where you're supposed to be. You know? We're not, because he says, right, in verse 7, the carnal mind is an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. How many times have we, you know, and we do it, right? You know? I'm trying to do this without offending too many people, but hey, right? It's an offense. It's when we say something to the effect is, my brother's a homosexual, but he really loves God. You literally just said that this person is dedicated to homosexuality, which is carnally minded, right? And those who are in the flesh, when you're basing your entire character and identity of who you are on the flesh, he just said, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But it's the same thing whether it's you living with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whether you're doing any of those things. And it's like, how can I say I can please God when I'm literally living in my flesh? So if that's one of your struggles, I would just, you know, encourage you in that to avoid those things. Look, the third thing, it's like, okay, we're going to be here a long time with these points. It's second service. This is your fault, right? You know? So it's like, I mean, he said I had an hour and a half, 2 hours if needed, right? All right? You know? Hey, you'll sit through a 2.5 hour movie, right? You know? All right, no, seriously, I'm not staying here that long. I'm hungry. But here's the third thing, all right? If you're taking notes, third thing. If you have never made a decision for Christ, you know, and when I say decision, I mean pray to prayer of faith, outwardly confessed him to others. If you've never done that, you might not be a Christian, right? Instead of you might be a redneck, it's you might not be, well, not a redneck, but a Christian, right? You know? If you've never made that confession of Christ, I've talked to people before, you know, and I gave the example when I went into the Navy and they asked me, you know, what do you want us to put, you know, as a religion on your dog tag? I was like, I don't know, American. I guess I'm a Christian, right? Because we thought that. So many of us still think that, you know. I'm American. That makes me a Christian, but it's not, you know. The two are not mutually compatible, right? You know? And that's the thing, is I had been sorry so many times, man. I had been broken so many times where I came down the altar, you know, that pastor would be up there and, you know, from the moment that they tricked me into going to church, right? You know, I must have gone down like 10, 15 times going down. Not because I really wanted Christ, but because I was sorry that I got busted again. You know, I was just sad because I got busted. But I never truly made a decision. I never made Jesus my Lord. Never until I did. And then when I did, I couldn't shut up about him. And man, it's so awesome. You know, turn to Romans chapter 10. Okay, Romans chapter 10. To be clear, okay, to be clear, a sinner's prayer, I just want you to be sure of this, a sinner's prayer or filling out the I got saved this morning card does not save you, okay? Jesus saves you. And you saying something does also not enter into a con, you know, it doesn't mean, okay, God's got to save me now because I said the words. I even put money in the box, right? I'm covered. No. Stop it, okay? Just stop it. It is in who he is. And that, you know, and I'll describe to you in a minute what the word believe even means. It's incredible the things that God has given us here in his word and the things that he has done for us. You may not even know him. Here's one of the things I want to just do for you here. Look at Romans chapter 10 and let's look at verse 9. He says, and I want you to break it down a little bit. He says that if you confess with your mouth, right? Now, here's the thing, because some of us think, well, if I just say the words, you know, if I say the magic words of, okay, Jesus, you're my Lord, right? That's going to save me. What does it mean when you confess something, right? What does it mean when you confess something? It means you repent, right? When you go home and dad said, who broke the lamp? Right? You confess, though none of you ever did, but you know what I'm saying, right? You know, you go, I broke the lamp, Father. None of us were George Washington, right? None of us would admit we, you know, chopped down the cherry tree. But here's the thing. To confess is to confess something that has actually occurred to you, in you, right? So he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, have you made Jesus your Lord? Is he your Lord? That's what you're confessing, okay? And what is that second part there? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But he doesn't stop there. He makes the point in verse 10. For with the heart, One believes unto righteousness. We are told over and over again, Abraham believed and it was accounted to him as righteousness. We're told that in Genesis. We're told that in Romans, right? And now Paul says, literally, you with your heart, that's that inner person, that inner being, right? It's not saying you did it with the muscle that's pumping blood through you. It's who you are as a core person, right? It's like, I believe, and that's the thing, man. I can even remember when I first came to Christ, right? I literally contemplated all the proof and evidence that there was for Jesus, all the eyewitness testimony that was given. When I realized this wasn't just fiction that somebody wrote, that people were recording this testimony of who he was, and then I had the choice of whether to believe it or not. But the moment it began was when I began to go, I mean, if there really was a God, he could do this, right? I mean, if there really was. And that began that trip for me that ended in accepting Jesus Christ and the work that he was doing in me. What's coming out of my mouth is saying what's happening in here. Have you made that confession unto salvation, he says. It's not my confession that saves me. I'm confessing I am saved. That's the difference. Have you been saved? I'm admitting outwardly what has happened inwardly. Man, that's God is, and he does it in you, right? He does it in you. Look, the fourth thing, okay? All right, well, seriously, let's turn it up a little bit, okay? If you don't feel the weight of your own sin, you might not be a Christian, right? If you don't feel the weight of your own sin, you might not be a believer. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And here's the thing. A person that's continually defensive, right, when confronted, or shakes off your sin like it's not a big deal, you know? Oh, did it again. Yeah, he's just working on me. Seriously? Do you realize how much that sin costs? Is sin real to you? Do you understand what it took, right, to save you and what was involved in it, right? And I'm not telling you, you know, if you don't feel bad, you're not probably not saved. But if you're saved, if you're walking in him and you're walking in the Spirit, sin becomes something more than just something you did. It has implications. It has these things in it, right? And here's the thing, if you're saying, you know, as a believer and you know you're saved, I'm not asking you to doubt your salvation. Don't get me wrong in that. That's not what I'm doing here today. If you're confident in your salvation, you need to check off whether sin still has that weight of that consequence in your life. Man, is sin real to me? Is sin real to me? Right? Is sin real to me? A person who doesn't feel grief, you know, when you're thinking about this disobedient act that you've done, may not be saved. Look at 1 John chapter 2, and look at verse 5 and 6 with me there. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. He's not saying if you don't break a promise. He's saying if you keep God's word, right? If you're walking in it, like I said earlier, right? Sometimes we go, well, I know better. I know what I'm doing. But this is your guide. This is what guides you. This is what I keep, right? Not perfectly. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you, you know, it's one of the things that we constantly, you know, assuring the fellowship of, it's not sinless, it's blameless. Okay? That's that place we want to be. But look what he says there. He says, whoever keeps his word truly, the love of God is perfected in him. He doesn't say you're perfect. He says God's love is perfected in you because you know where to go. You know where your light is. It's Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. Yes, sang it this morning. Do you believe it? Right? If you said he is the way, the truth. I can't do it, right? I can't even compete with these gals up here, right? You know? But I'm going to try. No, I'm serious. He said, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the light. You sang it, do you believe it? Or are you trying to force your own path through life and say, God, you just follow right along, you know? He says, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. if you have come to the understanding that I cannot do this, I cannot make it, I need God, right? Guess what? He's in you. He who says he abides in him also ought to walk just as who walked? Jesus. Does that mean I need to walk perfectly? You can't. He's already said that. He says that also in 1 John, right? And when you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, right? And when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But he still says, you need to walk as Jesus walked. Isn't God amazing? God is so good that he does these things. He says, we see where God is giving this command to Paul, and he's telling him, you're going to go out and you're going to preach. And he says, you're going to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So many times in people believe that they're becoming Christians because they just made that blanket statement. They did that thing. They tacked God onto their life, right? You know, but he says, you becoming a Christian means to turn from darkness to light. Have you turned? You know, I mean, Randy used to run the skate park and everything at Calvary Houston for the longest time. I'm sure he shared that with you a lot, right? Right. And what did he call it? He called it 180. Right. Shred Fest. And he called doing a 180. You know, and most of you guys are, I don't know, some of you may not know what a 180 is. Right. It just means to go from one direction to the other. Okay. It is to go the complete opposite direction. And that's what Paul says that you're going to do. You're going to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Why? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. When you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, you're literally saying, I'm wrong, you're right, I'm gonna go where my Lord is commanding me now. Fifth and final thing, okay? This doesn't mean it's over. We still got a lot, okay? I'm just telling you. All right? Don't get excited and go, I'm going to beat everybody. We're going to beat the Baptists, right? No, it's not going to happen. Okay? So, the fifth and final is showing the fruit of the Spirit, right? And I'm not telling you perfectly or fitting or having every single part of it in your life and fulfilling all these things, right? You know, but you might not exhibit all of these all the time, but God's working in you. He's bringing you to a place where you're doing these things. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 for me. All right, Galatians chapter 5. We were in 2 Corinthians, and Galatians is right after that. Galatians chapter 5. It just seems that there's so much where you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we're like, I don't need to do nothing. But right? And it's like, there's a lot you should be doing. There's a lot you should be doing. And there's a lot that should be going on. Why is it we believe that God can save us but not change us? Shouldn't we be getting changed? Shouldn't something look different? You know, look at chapter 5, right? And you know, look at verse 16. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does he mean by that? What does he mean, walk in the Spirit? Well, what did he say earlier, right? He who walks in the Spirit ought to walk as Jesus. Let's try it again. He who walks in the Spirit ought to walk like? Thank you. All right. Right? You're now pastors. Go. But, no. But here's the thing. You know, he says, you've got to walk like this. You've got to do this. So if I do this, if I'm walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, even though I feel like I'm a lot better at that, right? Feeling the lust of the flesh, not walking in the Spirit. And he says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, I'm not going to go through the works of the flesh. Most of you are already really good at that part, okay? Let's go to where it says the fruit of the Spirit. All right? This is where you want to be. So let's go there. Look at verse 22 with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first thing he goes, right? Is God increasing your love? You know, and I'm not talking about making you nice. I am saying love. They are distinctly different things. The fruit of the Spirit is not you talking in tongues every place you go. It's, do you have love? Do you have love? Joy, peace, long suffering. I mean, when he says long suffering, it's that grandma for that criminal son, right? That criminal grandson, you know, not my baby. Love him no matter what, right? That long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, self-control, right? That's a big one. You know, you don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Yeah? Seriously? Self-control. You know, no one can make you do anything you don't want to do unless they have a gun on you. That's different, right? No one can make you angry in Christ. You know, this is one of those beautiful things, right? I have self-control, not because, you know, I breathe out, or I breathe in. You know, it's none of that. It's in Christ, man. I am the victor, right? You know, he will place all things under my feet. He's already won. He's done it. I don't need to win the argument. I don't need to have the thing. In him, I'm complete. Right? He says that in Colossians. I'm complete in him who is he's the ultimate everything. So self-control becomes a thing where it's not just I'm controlling my anger, but I want to punch you in the throat. It's not that. It's literally, I don't have to. You want to win? Win. And then I'm going to show you love, and I'm going to put up with your, and I say this word, though it may be a sin in some of your homes, and I'm going to put up with your stupid self, because you're doing stupid things, right? Paul calls people stupid in the Bible, okay? He does, you know, in Galatians, he's like, you know, you idiots, what are you doing, right? God knows our hearts, but Jesus said we would know a tree by its fruit. Matthew chapter 7, and you don't have to turn there. I'll read parts of it to you. But he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits, right? It's how many people, they preach one thing and live another. You know, they preach the Bible, but they don't live in righteousness. They don't live by the word of God. They're not living by that light. Many, you know, in verse 22, you know, Jesus brings this point around and he says, for many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, but I said the words, I did the thing, right? Just because I'm living like the devil, does that really mean anything? Depart from me, I never knew you. The gospel should change you. Yeah? And many of us see this in our own lives and the lives of others. And I'm not telling, again, I want to assure you as a believer in Jesus Christ, even if you feel like you may fail in some of these things, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you know and understand who your Savior is and where your salvation is. So it's like, what would I tell you to do? You know, how should I, you know, how do I help myself? How do I get my feet back under me? What do I do with these things? How do I get better in these? Pray. Seek the Lord, right? Pray. He's your answer. He always is. Learn the gospel. Teach the gospel. Share the gospel, right? Live it out. It's very simple. You know, God will bless you. God will move with you. Well, what if it's my kid or my wife or my husband? Pray, right? Learn the gospel. Share the gospel. Live the gospel. It's the answer in every situation. Well, but they think they're a Christian, but they're living like hell. Pray. Share the gospel. Live the gospel. For your entire life. And I would tell you, as for you young people especially, if you come to that place where you find Jesus Christ and he becomes such a part of your life that it is real, I would tell you, burn yourself out for him. Live every moment for him. Give everything to him. You know? And for some of you older people that are all the way at the other end right now and you think that you can't be used for God, you start moving in him and you'll see him use you. Burn yourself out for him. You know, burn out for it. Give everything. Now, you know, since we've got another hour, right? Is it another hour? Right? I'll give you what we didn't give the first service, right? The unwashed ones, we'll call them, because they're not here. Well, some of you may have been here for first service, right? But you slept through that one. So I'm going to give you this now, okay? Here's some other things that came close to being on my list, right? You never want to pray. Ooh, that's the big one, right? What's going on at church tonight? It's a prayer service. All right, I can go to the movies. Something's wrong with that. You know, it's like if you, I think I actually heard Randy say this weekend. He was like, if you knew Jesus was leading, like personally showing up and leading the prayer service tonight, you'd be like, you know, you'd spend 2 hours getting ready and combing your hair. If you got any left, some of you guys, not so much, right? But you do it because Jesus is leading the prayer service. He's always leading the prayer service. Every single one of them. People are coming to literally talk with the creator of the universe together. You know? And I love it because every time we come into the presence of others that confess Christ and his spirit is living in him, heaven becomes more real. It's like focused here. It's amazing because you're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? You know? And why would I not want to pray with you guys? Except for you people who mumble when you do it. I don't like you. Don't get in the group. If you don't want to read or study your Bible, you might not be a Christian, right? You don't want to worship? That blows my mind how many people confess Christ, get baptized, do all these things, and then when worship hits, they're like, yeah, okay, I'm going to go work on my computer while this is going. I've seen it, right? And it's like, you know, worship, man, it's all worship. It's all worship, right? How could I not want to worship? If you have no heart for the lost, Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. That's why I say, you know, pray, teach the gospel, live the gospel. If you have a sin that you are constantly returning to, you need to examine your life. Number one, you need to come here and get counseling. But first, pray. Receive the gospel. Live the gospel. Let God work in you. You know, there's that thing we call in the church sanctification, the idea that God is improving your life. He's moving you. And for some of you, here's the thing. Are you different than you were a year ago? Not just older, right? But are you different? Are you more in him and is he more in you? Is God working on you and cleaning you up, you know? For some of you, I know it takes a lot more, okay? Right? I see some of you right now, and I can tell, man. I could tell, right? Because I'm really judgy. So, you know, I'm messing with you. I just know you're all bad, right? Because I am too. Pot, kettle, hello, right? So, but this is the beauty of living in Christ, right? The thing about sharing the gospel is the power that is inherent in it. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it gives Robert amazing... No. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also for the Greek. Listen, if you sit there, you know, if you get caught in some kind of weird Calvinist trap where you think, you know, well, God hasn't saved me yet, it must not be for me. No, the fact is the moment you walked in here and we shared the gospel earlier, if you weren't a believer in Jesus Christ, he literally just shared it with you. It is the power of God to salvation. If you submit to him as your Lord, you can be saved today for eternity. Your eternity can change at this very moment. Why? Because of my, you know, my teaching, sharing, preaching, joking, whatever? No. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. And then he goes on in verse 17, he says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Our salvation in Christ is not by the doing, but by the who? Jesus." Right? And it's faith in him at the very beginning. You know, if I were to tell you to raise your hands, don't raise your hands because I don't want to make it awkward and weird, right? But if I were to say, with a raise of hands, how many of you, when you first became Christians, made some great moral stand, right? You did this great act of morality which merited your salvation, you know? I'm not telling you who just raised his hand, but we'll bless him anyway, right? But the thing is, it's like, you know, you didn't do some great moral act. It was by faith, right? For most of us, we were the worst person we ever thought we could be when we came to him. You know, you came to him and he saved you and you were just like, "Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus." And then suddenly you began to think that I need to do good to keep it. When did he say that? Never. He just said, God is, you know, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. You know, remember that word faith. If I were to tell you, if I were to say, "Listen, church, how did you get saved? By grace through faith." But he did it, right? But the word I'm looking for is faith, okay? I'm not going to give you an X, but I'm going to give you half a check on that one, okay? You got it. All right, so let's do it again, okay? Let's do something else here. How do you maintain your salvation? By in Christ. You could have done that, okay, right? Okay? If the just shall live by faith, when you die, he's going to accept you because of your faith. Hey, there you go. Right? Isn't that amazing what God does? This is the power of the gospel. Man, the just shall live by faith. If I'm living by faith, I'm not necessarily struggling or fighting or, you know, no. Because I'm walking with him. You know, I'm walking with the boss, right? It's like when you're walking with the boss, you're like, "Yeah, I'm walking with the boss," right? You guys just wish you were me. You know, but here, this is the exam. Do I really believe in him? Do I believe he is that song we sang earlier? He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Do I believe that? And if I do, I'm going to understand that he is the author, the initiator, the writer. Man, he's the author of my faith, right? And that he's going to finish it. He's going to do it. After examining all these people that lived by faith, and most of them died for it, in Hebrews chapter 11, in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." Man, are we suckers for it. So he says, you lay it aside, set it aside, put it away. "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." You're not running to me. You're not running to a church. You're not running to a denomination. You're not running, you know, to earn this. You are running to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, because it is finished, and he has done it in you and for you. Have you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you believe that? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, here's what we're going to do right now. The worship team's going to come up, and we're going to pray, and we're going to begin to sing. The deacons are going to come forward, and they're going to come forward for prayer. But also, if there's anyone that would like to receive Christ today, you know, as we're singing, you come up, and we're going to say a prayer with you. Okay? So if you would, pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you, I pray right now you begin to move on their heart, Lord. I pray right now you begin to have your way in them. And Lord, I pray that you move them, that you move them to come and receive the gift of life that you offer, to see that this gospel, that you have given it for their salvation even today. Lord, move upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you would, please rise. And again, as they worship, if you would like to receive Christ, I want you to come down to the front today. Let's worship.
Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Now, for those of you that are believers and you're wondering today and you've been checking them off or you've been putting X's down, if you would, you come forward and you've got men here who want to pray with you, who want to encourage you and who want to get you going in Christ. And you can come after we're done with the worship. You can come during the worship. You can do, you know, just let the Lord lead you in what to do. But make that commitment to him today. Do this in Jesus' name. I love you guys. Y'all have a wonderful morning. Let's worship.